Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, you are an idiot. Here's a Laurel and Hardy handshake and an apple and a roadmap. See you later, sister. But no, in Alaska they went, yeah, that's right. I love this, though. John Amato over at Crooks and Liars found the definitive proof that Sarah Palin is an idiot. And he did so with a really old chestnut of a movie. Okay? It's the 1945 film The Bells of St. Mary's. And there's a whole bunch of children reciting the pledge with a blowing flag. Just listen to what they say. Listen to all them little communist children not seeing under God.
That they don't have their flag lapel pins on either on their, gunny sack clothes.
Yeah, I'm so intimidated now that I make sure and just push my flag lapel straight into my flesh.
Oh, that reminds me that the commercials I was talking about earlier, the one with the hipster dude and changing his shirt. One of the things he does is he takes his flag lapel pin out of his nose. It's like pierced through his nose, and moves it down. Yes, and moves it down to his shirt to keep from offending the Republican.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
I forgot that.
Where did I see the photograph of the flag lapel pin? It was somebody's blog. I saw a photograph of a flag lapel pin wrapped in plastic. And it said made in China?
Yeah, of course.
And the stripes were all wrong.
Yep.
Why not?
ELO had that in one of her videos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where I was. That's where I was. Oh, God, that video was beautiful. Just, oh, yeah. So you want to hear that they gave Dear Leader nine. Hey, wow. It's okay. We're into your show now. I just realized it. Right. Sorry, guys. We get to where we're just having way too much fun.
We do.
Let's see. Peter, thank you for a wonderful evening. Sweet dreams.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
John, you've got a show around the corner, which I have profoundly truncated.
Yeah.
And so I'll get the heck out of here. Guys, have a great evening. And in the interim, here is the late, great Lowell George reminding you to...
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps then... go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome. Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Oh, all right. Welcome aboard, everybody, for Foxed Up for another week. And, yeah, we ran a little long on the horn section, but that's all right. You know, you just kind of sometimes can't stop a vibe when it's going. Let's see. Let's go over to this mic. We're going to the head-on studios here tonight because we were running a bit late. I'll tell you, I think I was being misunderstood slightly when I was speaking about how I think this whole McCain-Palin thing is going to play out. It's not out of optimism, right? You got to understand, I'm far, far, far too jaded. You know, I come off as being a, you know, happy guy all the time and whatnot. You know, well, not always. I have my moments. But... you know, this we're in a situation. We're in a situation where we have never been so organized. You know, this is crucial stuff here, and I just don't see how they can sell this. You know, it's that thing when you have a limited bag of tricks, and I think this is where I mentioned this piece on foreign correspondent at from the ABC last night here. And just go to abc.net.au, go to find the page for foreign correspondent. You can watch, I do believe, from anywhere the program, and you know. Yeah, they're going for the evangelicals, but they're not going to get them. They're losing them in numbers like they've never seen before. We're seeing this on, you know, we're seeing this happen. And there's a reason. There's a reason. You know, we make fun of the fundies a lot on this network, you know, because we take the piss out of the most extreme ones. But, you know, they're also... yeah, you know, they may not be as curious as some of the rest of us would like them to be. They do know when they're being screwed. They do know when they're being lied to. And George W. Bush has absolutely fed them the most horrendous pile of shit for years. They have never gotten what it is that they want, and they're rethinking their involvement in politics. I do believe this is happening, and the reason why this is going to work is because even though I hate it so much, I can't tell you how much I can't stand it, but religion and faith is a factor in our political system, which it shouldn't be, not the way that it is. But Obama has played this brilliantly. He's laid himself down as a man of faith, but he's made it really clear that he understands that there are a whole lot of people in the United States and in the world who have no particular affiliation with any religion. And they're just as, you know, much citizens as, you know, the most fundamentalist Christian who has the stupid freaking idea that under God has always been in the Pledge of Allegiance. So, I mean, there are going to be the bottom feeders that we won't be able to reach, but I think they're, you know, it's really the bottom of the bottom. And you look at it even critically for 5 seconds, and the facade blows away in a second. We're going to go to the phone. Susan's on the line. How you going, Susan? Welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
How you been?
Got a couple of pieces. Oh, plowing through the swamp is a giggle. Got a couple pieces of information for you.
Okay.
First of all, Joe Manchin, in his speech, will have magically transformed himself into a Democrat.
Whoa. Sorry. Who was this?
Lieberman.
Oh, he's a Democrat now again, is he?
Yeah, he magically transformed himself for this evening.
Right.
Also,
yeah. The poster child for Dino.
Right. Also, he's criticizing Obama for his failure to fund the troops. Now, last time I looked, I didn't realize that Barack Obama was in the House of Representatives. I thought he was in the Senate. Whoops. Unless maybe Joe doesn't really understand the way things work down there. The other piece of information is about Dear Sarah.
Oh,
another
please.
Part of her story has unraveled. One of her few claims to foreign policy experience was a trip to Ireland. Said trip to Ireland is turning out to be a layover at the Shannon Airport.
Oh, my. It's like, hand us your passport. They look at the stamps and say, okay, what can we fabricate from this?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, the woman is imploding big time. Anyway, if you want to read the articles there, I'll put sent down. But this is getting to be embarrassing.
It rings so hollow. The whole thing. I watched again the speech where McCain introduced her, and I'm just looking at it going, man, he just looks like the kid who's been taken to the dentist and does not want to be there.
Except for the part where he's checking out her rear.
Well, I forget whose comment it was and said, who the hell is that, his third wife?
Or soon to be third wife. What gets me is the gales of derisive laughter that is coming from overseas.
Say again, I lost you in a little bit of internet funny.
I said what gets me are the gales of mocking laughter coming from the overseas press.
Oh, The Guardian. Comment is free. Oh, you have to go there. Oh, it's just too much fun. And the trolls just get absolutely decimated in there. And you have the Americans living overseas just going, I am so embarrassed. This is just woeful performance.
Yeah, well, that's the first place I hit always, is I hit the foreign papers. And the mocking laughter coming from the foreign press is hysterical and embarrassing, frankly.
Well, that's why I think that this is the first real outward sign of them eating themselves.
Yeah, so do I. The question is, have they got to take us down with them?
Well, if McCain just implodes, well, he implodes. And part of me feels a little sorry for the guy.
He's
been a stand-up guy for his party for a whole lot of years, and now when they're in their worst pile of shit that they've ever been in the past 50 years, they are asking him to now stand up and be the guy.
No way. It is not like that, John. They screwed him over big time. And then he turned around and sold his soul.
And I think that that has pulled any heart that he might have had in the process. You know, I do think he feels like he's been screwed over, and he's sold out. His reputation is in tatters.
If he'd have had any kind of brass ones after the primary in 2004, in 2000, he would have turned around and, when Bush let him know that he needed him, to hug him and do all that stuff to make him his candidacy be legitimate, he would have told him right out in public, I will never have anything to do with a creep like you.
He's torn apart his own reputation and the way that he's, the way that he was. I think it was Kerry that did the great, candidate McCain against Senator McCain, and they're two different people.
Oh yeah, I love that speech.
It's like, where was that Kerry in 2004? I just have to kind of sit back and weep slightly and say, if only, but that's what happened. It's taken us longer to get to the point we're at now than it should have. But hey, we're finally getting there. I think what's going down in Ohio is crucial at the moment.
I'm sincerely hoping. Who knows? Maybe we need to do a remake of the Daisy ad. I don't know. It can't be the Obama campaign that does it. It would have to be an independent. But something along those lines, just something to put him
and,
down.
And I think it's up to places like here at the Horn and other networks and other outlets that we need to do. Not in the dirty, lying, false fashion that the right wing has, but, get organized and be the surrogates of the message and get it out there and say, look, if you haven't been paying attention or if you just had an inkling, yeah, you were right. This is a joke on the other side. This is a circus on the other side. And how can you absolutely expect that if McCain would go ahead and choose an absolute neophyte like this woman to actually try and take on Hillary Clinton's mantle?
Oh, talk about an insult. The blogosphere from the Clintonites, the comments from the Clintonites, oh, they are ticked. Now, how dare they diss us like this?
If there was any party unity problems before, it's gone now. They have effectively taken any doubt of that away. It's just like now the Clintonites have turned around going, all right, Obama, let's go get him.
Yeah. There is the very, very top of the Centav is a piece of satire that will crack you up. It's the Republican VP losers, might have IM'd each other. And if you want to giggle, go look at it. I will check that out.
That's the thing. This is playing. You couldn't write what's happening as satire. You couldn't have written this, and it's happening. And I think it's a joke.
Yeah.
And I really just think
funniest,
that Democrats. Go ahead.
The funniest stuff is all straight, literal truth.
Oh yeah, and that's the point. And this is why, I was kind of agreeing with David, even though I'm not sure about some of the rumor mill stuff. But when David was on Bob's show earlier, I said, look, I totally agree that I think that she's going to end up walking away, and they're going to do it in that very right wing fashion that's done, regardless of nation, that it's for family reasons. When they actually have just gone down in a ball of flames of disgrace. This whole thing, single mothers, even married conservative mothers are going to say, if she's got a child who's just about to have a child. And this is because of the importance of being a mother. Can we expect her to be ready to be vice president and very, very possibly president? I think that has to, you know, that has to kind of cut through even some ideology at a point and say, well, if she's really all about the child, I think she should maybe go back, deal with this for a few years. She's young. She can come back and try again.
And do you know anything about Downs?
About what?
Down syndrome?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do. I know a fair bit.
So do I. I have a cousin who was born with Downs. The prevailing thing these days is that the first few months are critical. They have to be almost constantly stimulated with things to see, things to experience, that type of thing, which means they have to have pretty much a full-time mommy.
Oh, yeah. They need stimulus to develop the synapses early on, because if you don't get those pathways happening early, they struggle more than they need to. And see, I also know, because a young boy only about 2 years younger than me growing up on my street, I grew up with, and my mother was similar age to this guy's mother, and so, you know, it was that 40 and up thing where, you know, the risk is high, and it was something that I always kind of looked at and said, you know, that could have been me. And I think about this whole flight thing that's been talked about with, you know, Sarah Palin, and I just have to ask the question why she would take the risk.
And why did she bypass at least three world-class medical centers in Dallas-Fort Worth, in Seattle, and in Portland to go to a place that didn't even have a neonatal unit?
Yeah. So, I mean, these, I think those are the legitimate questions, not to go after this idea that, you know, the baby is not hers and all this, you know, a current affair kind of crap. But, you know, really getting down to, okay, she's billing herself as this, you know, good conservative mother, and the child all comes first. Do her actions actually attest to what she's preaching?
As somebody who
and I think it doesn't.
The first thing I to tell you, the thing I can tell you, the first thing I did when I went into labor was say to my hubby, was get me to a hospital.
as you accidentally broke his wrist with the kung fu grip. I've been there. Adrenaline's an amazing thing. But I appreciate you bringing in Susan, and I will check out the satire.
No,
but I got David hanging out on the other line, so it's good to talk to you, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, and that was Susan. We'll go straight over to David from Maine on the line. How you going, David?
Mr. John Fox. I was going to do a drop for you, but I figure, you know, I needed more sound effects and stuff like that. John Fox on Radio 1, Head on Radio.
Something I'll never have, but I'd love to, I'd love to have a drop for me done by Scott Muni. It's just, you know, that's a dream, but it'll never happen.
Well, you know the greatest thing is there's that bit, I don't know if you've seen that bit on Family Guy with Weenie in the Butt, where they make fun of radio, and that's the name of the show, Weenie in the Butt.
I haven't seen that one, I can't say.
You gotta see it because it's great. He's just like nine buttons right in a row. You're on Weenie in the Butt, Weenie in the Butt, Weenie in the Butt. And like they don't even pay attention to the caller. They just keep on hitting buttons. Yeah, I gotta send it to you. When you see that bit, you'll be like, "Oh my god, Family Guy nailed it!" But yeah, I want to say about this. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Please go ahead. I kind of know where you're going, and because you kind of picked up on where I was gonna go during the horn section before I got there. Yeah, I'm glad you rang in.
Yeah. The Sarah Palin thing. I'm just gonna say this on that. I think Tom Hartman's source is right. This is she's going to step down. And I think that looking at the way the headlines are now, the way they're propping up Lieberman, calling him Brave Joe, I think he's the pick, John. I really do.
I reckon so, too. I reckon so, too, because John McCain wanted him in the first place, as far as I've been able to read.
Right.
And they're old mates. So who else to go down with than your best mate? I mean, really.
Well, this is where we part company. Because I still think, and I want to put this out to people, that the Jerusalem Post is putting out stories about an attack in October. There's a latest story. I don't know. You can't really base anything because they've said this so much over and over again. And one of the new story they have on there is that the planned attack is going to be an unmanned aerial drone in October, a nuclear site in Iran, which doesn't make much sense. But, like I said, I don't know. But, see, John, that's what I keep telling, you know, people around me. Like, there's no way that Obama can lose. Well, I mean, I keep looking at that specter. Will they? Do you think they will attack Iran before the election?
Now, see, you know, I mean, when you unfortunately, there's so much, you know, context that has to be taken in. Now,
yeah.
You know, when I was talking about, you know, the fact that this is all playing out as a joke and the Obama campaign, you know, all they have to do is play it smart and let them disintegrate and just continue to look presidential. And as far as the campaigning angle, we've got it. I don't think that we can, you know, we can blow it unless they blow it. And I think that they're far too organized to have a major, major slip up. I'm seeing it just too tight as a drum. But then outside of that, you have the factors of voting machine, you know, manipulation and all that, which, you know, I think we're going to see something really break hard in Ohio before the election. And, you know, it's going to be really hard for them to steal it this time around. But then you also have factors like what you bring up. I don't put it past Cheney and Bush to go ahead and try and, you know, usurp the Constitution and go into Iran and declare martial law and, you know, try and stop an election for the first time in U.S. history. I don't put that past them.
Hmm.
But I have to, you know, you do have to focus.
You just have to march on.
You know, yeah, you have to march on. But the thing that I think is my point is, you know, for those on our side who are freaking out that they think that the fundies are going to go for this woman all out, I say just relax, just chill out. I think it's going to backfire, and when the bookies start betting on it,
yeah.
I start having, you know, you only have to go through history. The bookies get it right more than anybody. And so you gotta give it to them, and they wouldn't be putting money out if they didn't think there was money in it.
I agree with you, and I just called that as a teaser. What I really wanted to talk to you about, because since we all pretty much covered it in the head on the horn and Bob section, we'll just be retreading. Mm-hmm. Is this story? I'm just gonna open up with this letter. It's real short, and I want to get your reaction to it as I read it. I don't think you've heard this story yet, John. Hi, everyone. Are you all undoubtedly aware, I was arrested at gunpoint last Wednesday by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I am now facing a federal criminal charge by the United States government of copyright infringement after allegedly hosting a stream of 9 Guns N' Roses songs for a brief period of time in June. As a result, many old friends, new enemies, creepy strangers, and reporters have been cramping my style, asking questions, offering to help, threatening to injure, kill me, wishing me luck, wishing that I rot in jail for the rest of my life, hiding in my bushes, etc. Of course, I've been consumed by more pressing concerns, and I haven't been able to respond to any of it. But I wanted to take a moment to address some things today, now that my situation is a little more under control. As this is a criminal case, I will not be discussing any of its details with anyone while it is open. Inquiries of any kind in any relation to this case should be directed to my attorney. I'm trying to take full responsibility for my predicament. I consider the burden of legal fees ultimately mine to bear. I've independently raised the funds requiring to retain my attorney. However, it has definitely been been by far the biggest expense I've ever faced in my entire life, and my resources are very limited while formidable costs shall continuing to pile up. So, if people didn't catch that, this guy got some tracks from Chinese Democracy, which, as me and John have always said, there will be Chinese Democracy before that damn album comes out. But, John, here's the interesting thing. Can the government, can the FBI legally come into your house? This isn't a joke, people. Legally come in your house at gunpoint for hosting a stream, no download, of 9 songs that he probably got from the housekeeper of Axl Rose because they were just leaking songs because they hated his guts.
And you know, I mean, this really comes down to a major issue that unfortunately has not gotten enough coverage, which is, you know, I'm sorry, as a whole in these big events, you know, like we have with the RNC and whatnot, the police, and in situations like you're talking about here, the police are using this era of terrorism to absolutely come down like a ton of bricks on American citizens. And, you know, what happened with Amy Goodman yesterday turns my stomach.
Where
I think this is this again is where, you know, I mean, I think that the GOP has really screwed up because, you know, all you have to do is look at the fact that, like, Keith Olbermann was replaced last minute for the RNC coverage, right? They're trying to do this control the message thing. And it's becoming fairly obvious that it's not the Democrats, but it's the Republicans that have this, you know, unbelievably police state vibe and don't actually understand what democracy is at all. And to see Amy Goodman being manhandled, I have no idea how old she is.
Yeah.
She's not a kid. She's not a kid. And, you know, she goes to talk to them about the other two people, and they pull her over the imaginary line and then arrest her. It's just crap, and they've had to impose an injunction, and I don't know if they were successful or not, to keep the cops from erasing the footage. So we're having the tools of journalism being portrayed as terrorist weapons in the media, and this scares the absolute bejesus out of me, David. This is the stuff. This is the creepy crawly scum that will actually undo us.
John, I'll tell you what got me about this story was the fact that, do you know what Slash's reaction was after hearing this?
He's just like, what the fuck is going on?
No, he said, I hope they throw the guy in jail for this theft.
Oh my God!
This is what I'm talking about, John. This is what I'm talking about. It's a stream of an audio of stuff that he didn't even leak. You know who's responsible for this? I'll tell you who's responsible for this. And do you know who Axl's manager is at this point right now?
I have no idea. It's such a circus, I haven't paid attention.
Irving Azoff.
I reckon what you're thinking is that, you know, Axl might have even done this himself because, I mean, he's just been such an idiot.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that Irving Azoff had, there's a deal, according to Reuters, that he has a deal with Walmart for the album to be exclusively released there this year. I believe that, you know, Irving is known for, like, tyrant tactics with stuff with the Eagles, stuff with all of the acts that he's managed, and he's known for this. And he's known for going over the top because songs have leaked before. And John, here's the interesting thing about it. It's a freaking stream. He didn't offer a download. It was just like a real audio stream.
Which no one could have pinched unless they were running, you know, actually, you know, audio out into another recording device.
Right, but it's a message. It's a message that you can't mess with these big acts. But I mean, that just kind of just took me by surprise when Slash doesn't even get it. That should put people on like, whoa, you know, all of these musicians, they don't understand how, see, what they think is these musicians think that these guys somehow have gotten a hold of it through illegal means, stolen it, paid for it, or whatever's in their delusional mind. When really what happened is someone just emailed their file on the, their email and said, hey, check this out, 9 songs by Guns N' Roses, dude. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, like a whistleblower, you know, would you go after the reporter that the whistleblower came to?
Mm.
You know, I mean, okay, if whoever leaked it can be tracked down to having actually, you know, broken into, you know, Axel's machine or something like that, I could see there being some cause, you know, for loss and damages possibly. But I think copyright law has gone completely over the top and in the wrong direction. My mate Scott and I have been talking about for years, and we've never gotten around to doing it. We reckon copyright law has needed to be rewritten for 25 or 30 years. And we don't know what the answers are. It's just the fact that the current arrangement does not work. And we end up having a whole lot of people involved in litigation for things that shouldn't be considered crimes.
I agree.
The industry is suffering by their own blindness half the time.
I agree with you on that, John. And on that note, I just want one last thing before I go, because I know you have stories to go to.
Yeah. What's up?
Do you think, since Hannah has gone down, the hurricane, do you think that Ike is going to be the big one that people are starting to run their predictions on?
It's one of those things. Who the hell knows? All we can say is we've been watching the trend for a lot of years. You know, that water there is getting warmer and warmer, and that has the ability to inject more energy into storms. And we have seen stronger storms. But with that, there are going to be changes in the way the currents are, and I mean, it's changing season by season. So it's going to end up affecting the paths that they take, how they break down, but I think it's only a matter of time before one doesn't, you know, quite get hit by something else in time. And, you know, especially, you know, it's still kind of early on in the season, man. You know, we could really see it hammer, you know. I think it's just a matter of time. I do think, sad as it is to say, I think, you know, if the modeling continues to show what it's showing, that we may have to rethink whether we can do New Orleans. And it's my favorite city to visit in all of the United States. But, you know, there is the reality that Mother Nature will always be able to overpower humankind. And having to understand that, we have to take that into our deliberations on how we deal with the problems of the future. There's a whole hell of a lot of discussion that needs to go down. Thankfully, they missed getting, you know, killed this time. But, you know, we haven't actually seen the full weight of the post-storm surge come through yet. The levees still could, you know, have failings. But this whole thing is, you know, it's just a reminder of too many things, you know, inherent problems in the current administration and the fact that we have challenges with Mother Nature coming upon us that are forcing us to have to really rethink our priorities in certain aspects. And the time very well could come where a place like New Orleans, you can't build the levees high enough.
Well, on that note, John, I thank you for your input and your insight, as always.
Thank you, sir.
You can use that as the draw your next time. Just kidding. One last thing I wanted to say was I hope to hear the track of the day from the new Spearhead.
So, yeah, that's coming. It might be coming up just right after this phone call.
All right, man.
All right, David, thanks so much, man, and you know, that having guns pulled on kids who rescream some stolen tracks is just, it's so over the top, And, you know, what happened to actually having due process?
I'm
you know, the kid wasn't
sorry,
threatening.
John.
Thanks, man. I look forward to the update. All right, and that was our good friend David from Maine. And let's see, we're going to switch microphones here. All right. Yeah, new spearhead. Boy, is this cool. Now, let's see, earlier I saw that my USB drive had lost its guts and connection, but it seems as though it's gotten itself back, which is good. Now, the new spearhead, I still am working my way through this. Like, I can't even review it yet. But it is just so reggae. This is just so shit hot. It's just mad. It's perfection, I reckon. I first started playing it, and Gail was in the studio here, and I just saw this, like, grin come over her face, and she just started to move to it, and I'm going, yeah, 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 he's nailed it. So, let's see. The opening track, it's great. It's called Rude Boys Back in Town, and the new album is called All Rebel Rockers, and this is just awesome stuff. So here we go, without further ado, Michael Ferranti and Spearhead.
So unique!
Whoa! Walking down the street about a quarter to four. It was early in the morning from the night before. Met a woman on the corner, said to come in my door. Heard the rhythm of the music pumping up through the floor. When I walked into a party, was ready to go. There were punk rockers, reggae rockers all in a row. Whining and a grinding to the DJ show. No woman from the corner, I was getting to know. The rude boys back in town. The rude boys back in town. I tell you that the rude boys back in town. The rude boys back in town. I say, Michael, Michael, where you been? You've been eating ice, you know you look a little thin. I've been out in Japan, just feeling Tokyo, man. I took the bullet train to Hiroshima and then I jumped into the water and I started to swim. Shanghai, Ho Chi Minh City, and then down to Indonesia where I hooked with some friends. I visit Tahiti down in Tuhoi again. I jump across the Byron Spring down to Cape Town where I be doing my thing. Then I be gone to Uganda, Tanzania, up to Sudan. I'm glad to see them. Jerusalem, Mumbai, Istanbul. Then down to Rio, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Up to Guadalajara, Kingston Way. Stop up in Havana and I'm back to the Bay. The rude boys back in town. The rude boys back in town. I tell you that the rude boys back in town. The rude boys back in town. Keep it calling out. From high to underground. Come to tell you. The rude boys back in town.
Pick up our mind, and when I rock our body, you can do what you like. Get ready for the rhythm where we come into sight. From early in the morning, we no stop with the light. All night long, we just rocking along. Time steady, DJ, we be singing a song. Oh, to your lover, if your
back in town.
You know if I got that for you? Weird. How strange. My little player here said there was still like a minute left of the track, but there wasn't. move on, because this is just great stuff, and I don't have all that much to say except that it's awesome. I'll give it a review probably on Billy's show at some point once I've really been able to digest it, but, you know, I just got to play it because it's Spearhead. And here's a great track, just classic Michael. Hey World, this is just awesome. Enjoy.
Yeah.
You gotta love Michael. Well, it's an abrupt ending. And David in the chat room brings up someone that, yes, has been unfortunately so overlooked on this program, especially due to the fact that my good mate Scott has worked for him, knows him rather well, is Mr. Lee Scratch Perry. And we will fix that. And just to prove that I'm not full of it, you know, I do actually have right on hand some, this is from, this is Secret Laboratory.
Okay.
This guy's mad. See, David, when I got the whole rig really running here, the whole library's there. There's some 36,000 songs to go to. So, you know, I don't have everything, but I do have some Lee Scratch Perry. So, and David's telling me that Mr. Lee Scratch Perry has two albums on the way out. One produced by Andrew W.K. Now, I find that really interesting, David, because the Andrew W.K. project, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the Andrew W.K. band, that metal thing, which was like every cliche on Overdrive, was a totally, no, I'm not playing Funky Town. Bob will revolt and cut me off. but that whole project was really, really contrived, totally contrived, where it was built around an idea, and the idea was also, and I have listened to a bunch of it, and it kind of does play very true, that there are songs where the same riff is never played twice, and it was, I think, a whole bunch of technicians, you know, former band backline guys and whatnot, and created this persona, you know, kind of like a heavy metal Ziggy Stardust kind of thing with the bloody nose and everything. It was all just a big put on, but a really well done and well produced put on. I'm be very curious to hear what the hell Andrew W.K. would do with Lee Scratch Perry. Because I don't know much about the guy, but Andrew W.K. is nobody's fool. He's a very, very clever, calculating producer type individual, and I think he's been in the business, and I think part of doing that whole original project was to prove how you can manufacture an act. And, you know, once again, you know, people didn't what's this? Did I ever listen to the song Andrew W.K. made about McLaughlin Group? I kind of vaguely remember that. I'll have to look for it and actually see if that's something that I do recognize. Or if it's just a figment of my imagination and I saw it in the headline somewhere, it's what happens. but I'll have to check out about the new Lee Scratch Perry albums. I'm actually really interested in that, and I know just where to probably be able to get them. In fact, so I didn't get to none of the stories today. It just happens. I just want to talk about the Arctic ice shelf and the fact that it's splitting. Today, we have crossed yet another threshold of where I think the feedback loop, which is our environment, that is accelerating in a bad direction at the moment. This is just another very, very possible sign of that. And I say possible only because, you know, I'm not there. I don't have all the answers. But to me, it would follow the chain of events that we've been seeing where just things continue to accelerate more and more out of control, and all the more reason why, you know, it's that thing of, yeah, he hasn't quite gotten all the point yet, but he's better than we've had and might actually listen. I think we, you know, really got to just keep our head focused, not worry about Sarah Palin, and then look at the shiny thing moment that they're having at the moment. Let the Republicans just crumble. Let them just crumble. Be there to catch the shit when they throw it and sling it right back at them. And I think we ought to be all right. And while we're doing that, we need to expose the past voter fraud so that we can have eyes on the ground yet again, more like unlike we've ever seen before. You know, we saw a bunch in 2004. It's why they weren't able to fudge other things. You know, I still believe that the Democrats would have gotten an even bigger majority if we actually saw the real results. So, you know, we just got to keep plugging away. And again, you know, yeah, it comes up all optimistic, but no, I'm being very calculating. I hope you understand that I'm trying to be, what I'm saying is I'm being calculating. Don't go, oh, it's all lost. Oh, they found their wacko. No, I really don't think it's going to work this time. They're going to bloody try, but it ain't going to work. So with that, we're going to wrap it up, and you know, we'll pick it up tomorrow as we wrap up the broadcast day here at the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing tonight. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for everything that he does, the archives, the streaming, you know, the whole, if you're hearing this, it's because of Ben. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for some of the music. Thanks to David from Maine for some of the other music. And thanks to Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Thanks for supporting us. And so as we say here on Fox Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. Membership card to get inside.